Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
The Clinton campaign is leaking like the Titanic, so say some, as a result of these ongoing WikiLeaks releases of emails and friends almost faster than we can stay up with it. There is breaking news all over the map, and we're going to try to get to as much of that as we possibly can today. And then this statement was made by a top United States congressman. Quote, the lawlessness of the current administration is over the top, and Hillary will do nothing but continue that lawlessness. Who said that? Why did he say that? We're going to be listening to that statement from one of Congress's top congressmen, and we're talking about a gentleman who loves the Lord with all of his heart, a man of impeccable integrity. And then, have you heard this, friends? Bill Clinton has now got a new term for those that are the base and supporting Donald Trump. Remember, Hillary called him a basket of deplorables? Well, Bill Clinton now has another word. He calls them rednecks, standard rednecks. What is all that about? And how is that going to affect the campaign? Certainly can't do anything to help Hillary's campaign, I wouldn't think. That and a whole lot more, friends, is going on today. But I want to go to a story, gentlemen, this morning, or this afternoon, rather, that I want to lead with. And it is an article written by a lady by the name of Julie Royce. She is a radio talk show host on Moody Radio. She has a radio program called Up for Debate. And she posted a very interesting article, Sam and Gary, yesterday. And in light of having Michelle Bachmann, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, on yesterday and listening to her comments, which, by the way, I agree with 100%, I want to just read a portion of what Julie Royce had to say. And I want to ask you gentlemen some questions, because what Julie says is in direct juxtaposition to what Michelle Bachmann said. And this really does go to the heart of the controversy surrounding Donald Trump and whether or not conservative Christians, committed Christians, can or even should vote for Donald Trump. Let me read part of the article and then we'll jump into the middle of this. Julie Royce says this, quote, I never thought I'd see the day when leading evangelicals would publicly espouse that character doesn't matter and that promoting sexual assault is simply, quote, unquote, bad boy talk. Yet that's precisely what's happening in the wake of a newly released video showing Donald Trump gloating over his sexual exploits with married women. I honestly don't know what makes me more sick, listening to Trump brag about groping women or listening to my fellow evangelicals defend him. Now, don't get me wrong. I get how disastrous a Clinton presidency would be. It would mean that the U.S. would be up for sale to the highest bidder, which gives the millions it's given to the Clinton Foundation and to foreign countries, including Saudi Arabia. A woman with close family ties to the Muslim Brotherhood would likely be chief of staff. And of course, this is a parenthetical statement on my part. She's talking about Uma Abedin. The Hyde Amendment, and I'm reading again, would be repealed. Religious groups would be forced to endorse gay marriage, or else the Supreme Court would be handed to a liberal majority for an entire generation. Our borders would remain porous, and any hopes of repealing the fiasco that is Obamacare will be completely dashed. So I get it. Hillary Clinton's presidency would be a disaster of historic proportions. But seriously, doesn't character matter? And then I'm going to stop right there, gentlemen. She goes on and cites Ralph Reed of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, who said of the tape that is 11 years old that captured Donald Trump making those atrocious statements. He said it was a 10-year-old tape of a private conversation and that it should, quote unquote, rank low on our hierarchy of concerns. And I think that statement, gentlemen, is the one that Julie Royce has the real problem with. Sam, I want to go to you first. Yesterday, Michelle Bachmann said there is no choice. We have to vote for Trump if we have any hopes whatsoever of our country being reclaimed. And now Julie Royce, a somewhat influential radio talk show host, is voicing what many across the country are wrestling with. And Sam, I'm just going to say it. I meet people like this every single week. I hear from them every single day on social media or via email. You know, Dave, how can I vote for a man who said these things? How can I champion the cause of a man who is the antithesis of what I believe, and all of those things, on and on we could go. Sam, I want to go to you. Provide some clarification with how Donald Trump's presidency can be supported by Christians and them not be doing wrong.
Dave, I will concur with you that I'm running into this type of thing also, and I think I commend you for bringing this up again because it is an issue being wrestled with, so it is appropriate. Let me answer it by saying this. I think as we approach this election, there are a couple things that are clear. There are but only two choices. Now, the third choice is Clinton and or the Trump-Pence team. And you have to put in the Clinton Kane team, because they are together. They are together with their platforms. The platforms are dramatically different. One is all about evil on the Democrat side, the killing of babies, the redefining of marriage, the destroying of families, one world government, all of the things that this individual here cited that you just read from. On the other side, you have the Republican platform, which is everything. Really, it's about as biblical as you can be, and it's all about life and self-government and the Second Amendment and all of the things that we would want. So there are two choices. It does not come down, Dave, just to two individuals, Trump or Clinton. They are two ideologies. They happen to have two people representing them at the top, but to say that there is a third choice and that is not to vote is simply not, it really is not accurate when you have a circumstance such as what we have. This is an election. There are two people, one of whom is going to win. A no vote in this point, which would mean that it would be to a Hillary Clinton, that already we know are fraudulently lining up people to vote. They're already manipulating the system, is in fact to say, I'm going to give them a vote. Dave, if someone can't vote directly because they support things about Trump, they then should vote for Mike Pence. They should vote for the ideology behind the ticket, and they should vote for the direction that Trump is talking. He is talking about the defending of our country. We do know who he's going to appoint to the Supreme Court. There are things, Dave, that we do know for sure. So I think the real issue is, can we actually sit out and not vote and console ourselves that a no vote is no vote? And the answer is no. In this kind of a scenario, a no vote, where you have one that is one platform leads to freedom, that's where it is, and the other leads to tyranny, that is not a neutral vote. It is a vote for the other side.
Gary, I know you have struggled some down through this entire 2016 campaign, the primary process. Obviously, Donald Trump was not my first, second, third, maybe even fourth choice. Yeah, I know he wasn't yours. I know you've struggled with it like all of us have. But I think what Sam said there is so critically important. We're not voting. In fact, I have never really voted primarily, except maybe with the first election I was ever privileged to vote in, and that was for Ronald Reagan. I loved the man. I loved everything he stood for, so I really did vote for a man in 1980, but after that, I have voted more for an ideology, as Sam worded it, and that is an ideology, a philosophy represented by the GOP platform, and this time it is the most biblical ever. Gary, can you shed some insight? Because I know you've wrestled with this like a lot of people are.
Well, we've got about 10 seconds left. I'll just say, yes, I agree with Sam 100%. Julie is missing the point, and maybe we can talk more about that when we come back after this break and Stand in the Gap Today.
We will do that.
This is your host, Sam Rohr. When it comes to financial stewardship, wills, and tax estate planning, you can trust the Life Financial Group, one of our Stand in the Gap Today radio sponsors. The Life Financial Group has worked alongside believers across America for nearly 40 years, providing counsel and biblical direction to Christians so they can provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Call the Life Financial Group today at 800-688-5800 for a free copy of Protecting Yourself from Fraud. That's 800-688-5800.
What is government itself but the greatest of all reflections upon human nature? If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. A quote from James Madison.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr.
Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
Remember, in this political season, it is God who changes the times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Daniel 2:21.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Here's a one-question quiz for all of you listeners here in Pennsylvania. How many races are on the ballot where you live in the November 8th general election? Well, of course, you know about the presidential race, and most of you will remember that we have a race for the U.S. Senate. But depending on which district in which you live, there are 7 or 8 different elected offices on the ballot this year. Among them, Congress, Pennsylvania Attorney General, Treasurer and Auditor General, and members of the General Assembly. Every single race is important and can affect your family's future. So please make sure to vote November 8th. But before you do, review our online voter's guide at pafamilyvoter.com, where you can find out about all the candidates on the ballot where you live and vote. That's pafamilyvoter.com.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family, preserve the future. You can follow Michael Gear online at Twitter and Facebook, or stay up to date on our website at pafamily.org.
The Constitution preserves the advantage of being armed, which Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, where the governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. A quote from James Madison.
Your Family Matters with Carla DeDessi. Your Family Matters brings a biblical perspective to your child rearing. Author and radio personality Carla DeDessi challenges you to think critically about raising your children with a biblical perspective. You will learn techniques for strengthening and protecting your family. Using truth, love, and wisdom, she encourages purposeful parenting to fortify your family. Together, we can and will strengthen our families with things that matter. Carla is a conservative voice who loves God, her family, and America. Follow Carla at CarlaDeDessi.com.
Hi, this is Carla DeDessi, the host of Your Family Matters. I do hope that you join me every Friday morning at 8 o'clock as we discuss Your Family Matters, right here at 1180 WFYL.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler. I'm joined today again with our regular team, Sam Rohr and Gary Dull. It's great to have all three of us aboard. Gary, as we were going into the break, I didn't give you much time to respond to that question, but I know you have struggled, as have many, with a vote for Donald Trump. And in light of our discussion yesterday with Michelle Botwin and the things she laid out, as well as what Sam just said, that this is really not an election about primarily people. It is an election about ideology. And again, I want to follow up and say that really one time in 1980, I voted for the man because I loved Ronald Reagan. I thought he was the epitome of integrity and character. I think most Americans would probably agree with that. But in all subsequent elections, I have voted more than not, in fact, almost exclusively, I guess I would say, for the principles espoused by the particular party of the gentleman that I voted for. Not so much for them personally, though I had respect for George W. Bush and so on, but I was voting really for the principles upon which they stood, the platform, the foundation. And this time we have the most biblical, not just conservative and constitutional platform, but the most biblical one ever. So, Gary, talk about how you have been able to navigate through this and come to a conclusion to where you could cast a vote for Donald Trump.
Well, I will cast a vote for Donald Trump. I will say that at this point, and those who are listeners of the program realize that during the primary season, I struggled. out of the 17 who were running on the GOP, Donald Trump might have been number 21 for me. And however, you know, since he is the nominee of the GOP, and since we have gotten to know just a little bit more about him and where he stands on some of these issues, I therefore can vote with a clear conscience for him. Now, again, the audio that we heard last week of him speaking on Friday evening is terrible. That's terrible language. It's terrible talk. It's sinful language. It's sinful talk. And yet, we don't justify that, and we will not even try to justify that. But I think that where Julie Royce is missing the point here is that she fails to understand that if Hillary Clinton gets in the White House, it could greatly be the demise of our nation. And I go back to what you said, Dave, and what we've said many times on this program. Believers in Jesus Christ need to get the platforms of both the Democratic and the Republican parties and read them. Get them and read them. They're not that lengthy. But as has been emphasized, the GOP platform is very, very biblical. Yesterday, Michelle Bachmann on this very program said it's the most biblical platform we have ever had in the GOP. And that's absolutely true. Now, in the third paragraph, I think that you read from Julie Royce, she said, don't get me wrong. I get how disastrous a Clinton presidency would be. It would mean that the United States would be up for sale to the highest bidder. And she goes on and on and on. That is the reason, Dave, that paragraph that she puts there in her own words is the reason why she, Julie, and all people who love this nation and all who love the Lord should be voting for Donald Trump, because Donald Trump will uphold that particular platform. Then secondly, behind that is Mike Pence. What a wonderful man, a man of God. You know, if anything should happen to Donald Trump, and God forbid, Mike Pence would be the guy in the White House, a man of God, a man who loves God, a man who is filled with biblical integrity, a man who upholds biblical truth. So here's why we say a vote for Donald Trump is a vote for America, because of the platform, because of the person that he has in line for him as his vice president, and second and thirdly, because of the fact that Donald Trump himself has said that he would uphold that platform. I think Julie Royce and many other, and I understand their thinking, but I think they're missing the boat in the long run, Dave.
Guess let's do this. Let's shift gears here a little bit, because yesterday there was a very interesting conversation that was conducted between Steve Doocy of Fox News and U.S. Congressman Louie Gohmert, who is himself a very committed believer. I have been around Congressman Gohmert on a number of occasions. This man speaks truth. He is a man of impeccable integrity. He is from a state that understands liberty, that understands the high stakes, the phenomenally high stakes that this current election provide to us. The future of our nation is hanging in the balance. And he made some phenomenal comments to Steve Doocy yesterday with respect to this phone call that was initiated by Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House. And I think, guys, to be honest with you, the media did not really accurately report some of what took place there. And Louie Gohmert basically said, you know, there were 12 of us on this call. There was only one, what he called a defector. The rest of the guys were firmly committed to voting for Donald Trump. Russ, let's do this. I want to play the clip. And then, gentlemen, I want to come to you and ask you some questions about this, because I think not only does this say something about Paul Ryan, the concerns people had for him as Speaker of the House, I think it says some other vitally important things for the future, not just of the GOP, but of the country itself. So, Russ, play the clip, if you would, please.
Paul Ryan told you guys he's still endorsing Donald Trump, but he will not campaign or defend Trump. It sounds like he's abandoning the Trump ship. How did you interpret what he said?
Well, of course, the things that are being said about what Paul said, none of that came from me, but what happened was the leaders, so-called, of our party in the House made a bunch of statements telling us what they thought. And as appropriate leaders, they then listened to 12 people tell what they thought. And 11 out of 12 were and I was one of the 12, of course. I know it shocks you that I would speak, but made it very, very clear that our fortunes in this country rise and fall with what happens in the presidential election.
Sure.
And I tell you, Steve, it is so much more important now than it has been in the past, because in this Congress, we have been lied to. Crimes have been committed in front of and against Congress. Mm-hmm. And what have we done? Nothing. No one, not Lois right. Lerner, not Koskinen, not Eric Holder, previous Congress, people that have lied to Congress and have destroyed evidence, obstructed justice. What have we done? Nothing.
Sure.
And so for anybody to think, and this became clear, anybody thinks that, oh, we can just worry about a President Hillary and we'll rein her in. We haven't reined in the outrageous conduct
sure.
in this administration. It's not going to happen in the next. And right. Trump.
I want to go to you, Sam, and ask you this question, because in the rest of the clip, Louis Gohmert says this. And this is the phrase I used at the very beginning of the program. The lawlessness of the current administration is over the top, and Hillary will do nothing but continue that lawlessness. Compelling case, I think, Congressman Gohmert made.
Dave, I think he did make a compelling case. And in fact, that is part of what we're talking about. We are talking here about the rule of law. We are talking about the constraint of law. We're talking about the enforcement of law as we have it, or the injustice in its application to some people are special, as Loretta Lynch says is the case, or as the FBI director says, he lays out the case for conviction, and then he says, but we're not going to do it. That's what Congressman Gohmert is talking about. And so when he talks about the leaders, Republican leaders, which Paul Ryan has come out and has distanced himself from this whole thing, there is more to this, Dave, than behind the scene. I mean, you didn't ask this question, but really I do believe that Paul Ryan has in fact been and is an establishment Republican. We had people talk on this program about when the change went from John Boehner to him, where he was coming from. We really have people of an ideology, a globalist establishment ideology, that is working to further Hillary's position of lawlessness rather than a Pence-Trump combination, Trump-Pence combination that is really about enforcing the law and living within the constraints of the Constitution. This is a big deal.
You know, Sam, I read an article yesterday, and I don't remember now who wrote the article. I read so much on a daily basis, but they said exactly what you just said, that much of the GOP, certainly the leadership and many within the party itself, are actually in their ideology closer to Hillary Clinton than they are to anything that we would normally think of as being traditional GOP values. And the writer of the article said, why don't they just abandon the GOP? Why don't they go ahead and go over to the Democratic side? Because that's really where most of their loyalties are. Now, Congressman Gohmert is not one of those. He is a thorough conservative, committed Christian. But Sam, you made reference to this. And Gary, I want to ask you about it. It was on this program a number of months back. In fact, I guess well into last year when Boehner was ousted and Paul Ryan became the speaker, we had on this program former Georgia Congressman Paul Brown, who was absolutely, Gary, opposed to Paul Ryan as speaker, because here's what he said, and I'm going to refresh our listening audience. Paul Brown said, Paul Ryan will be nothing more than John Boehner light. And I think now we're seeing the fulfillment of Paul Brown's prophecy. What do you think?
Well, I agree with that 100%. And I kind of think, in my opinion, is that Paul Ryan is flawed in his leadership. I think, guys, and I can't prove this, but I think there are things within the Republican platform that Paul Ryan does not support, and that's why he's backing away from Donald Trump. If that's the case, then that's very, very serious to me.
Well, it is, Gary, and I know we could talk a lot more about this, but friends, when we come back from the break, A lot more emails have been released via WikiLeaks, and it appears like they're being released in an ascending order. That is, the ones that are released each day or each week are becoming more and more serious. We're going to be talking about what came out late yesterday. You're not going to want to miss it. And then in segment four, we're going to have some great encouragement for you as far as what's going on around the country. This is Stand in the Gap Today. Don't miss it. Join us after the break.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. A flight instructor that survived a small plane crash in East Hartford, Connecticut, tells investigators the crash was intentional. The student, who was also licensed to fly, died.
The survivor is being treated for his burns and for his injuries related to the crash, but is otherwise expected to survive.
East Hartford Police Lieutenant Joshua Litwin says the plane had two sets of controls, but he's not commenting on speculation. The student crashed the plane on purpose. The pilots identified. The student, that is a 28-year-old man from Jordan. San Antonio, Texas police officers face discipline for wearing Donald Trump hats.
The police officers were seen on video wearing red Make America Great Again hats as they greeted the Republican presidential nominee at the airport this week.
Thank you, fellas. Thank you, sir.
San Antonio Police Chief William McManus says the city bans all public employees from getting involved in politics while on the job.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland, Fox News. We report, you decide.
WFYL. History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
October 12th, 1492. 2 hours after midnight, Columbus sighted land. He named the first island San Salvador, meaning Holy Savior. After meeting the natives, Columbus wrote, "So that they might be well disposed toward us, for I knew that they were a people to be converted to our holy faith rather by love than by force, I gave to some red caps and to others glass beads. They became so entirely our friends that it was a wonder to see. I believe that they would easily be made Christians, for it seemed to me they had no religion of their own."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Friends, Republicans are accusing the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Obama Justice Department of collusion. They did that yesterday after an email surfaced, part of the latest WikiLeaks document dumping. And this latest batch indicates that the Clinton camp got a quote-unquote heads up from the Department of Justice about one of Secretary Clinton's pending court cases. Evidently, friends, in May of 2015, an email was written from Clinton spokesman Brian Fallon that said the following, and I quote, DOJ folks inform me there is a status hearing in this case this morning, so we could have a window into the judges thinking about this proposed production schedule as quickly as today. Now, what all that means is this. he had gotten information from the DOJ. That's what he said in his email, that there was going to be a what's called a status hearing, and then they would know a little bit more based on what the judge did that day as far as how this entire process of dealing with her emails and the possible leaking of information to foreign governments and her emails being hacked and all of that, how all of that was going to progress. Now, yesterday, Trump campaign manager Jason Miller released the following statement. He said, today's report that Clinton's campaign was in communication with the Obama Department of Justice on the email investigation shows a level of collusion which calls into question the entire investigation into her private server. Now, friends, you also know that President Bill Clinton got on the airplane of Attorney General Loretta Lynch and had some kind of private conversation before James Comey of the FBI came out and basically said, we have decided or we're not recommending that there be an indictment against Hillary Clinton. You put all that together, and Sam, it looks like collusion at the very least, if not a lot more than that. Let me ask you a question, Sam, because you have been on the inside of government and how it works. This status hearing, is that something that typically a person who is under investigation could communicate with the Department of Justice and find out that there is going to be a hearing that particular day and get a heads up on that? I mean, is that normal procedure? Because it sure doesn't appear to be to me.
Dave, no, it is not normal procedure. That is only something that happens when the gatekeepers, the words that I use, the gatekeepers in the process are in a collusionary type of arrangement. The gatekeepers, the inside, the way the political process works is that if you are there as a gatekeeper, in its case, you got somebody in the Department of Justice, executive branch, you have somebody, you've got Hillary, so that's executive branch too. But theoretically, the investigation is to be independent. If it's not independent, it's not an investigation of a legitimate sort. There is no communication in these kinds of things. It's like the grand jury conducting a hearing, but they're telling everybody what they're going to do, when they're going to do it, and the questions they're going to ask. It is collusion. It is invalid. And it not only makes the investigation suspect, it makes it more than suspect. It says it's rigged, and it says it's corrupted. Therefore, the results that come out of it have no standing, and they are bogus, not to be believed. This is a really big thing, which is why just a short time ago, I think it was Trump or Pence, one of the two of them, were just talking, and they said that if they get in their positions there, there will be an investigation, not just of Hillary, but an investigation of the investigation. And that's what you're talking about, and that's legitimate.
Well, I believe it is, Sam. I believe it's totally legitimate, because what we're seeing here, friends, it's an amazing thing. It's absolutely stunning that the FBI, parties within the FBI, the Department of Justice, individuals within the Department of Justice that are committed to independent investigation and to a discovery of the truth, and if the truth leads a certain direction, to prosecution of individuals who have committed crimes, the entire process now is jeopardized. Gary, I want to go to you, because what the Clinton campaign has been saying with respect to this WikiLeaks document dumping, they are blaming all of it on Russian hackers. In other words, what they're saying is Julian Assange, basically he has either been hacked or he is in some way complicit with the Russian government. And by extension, the Russian government wants to see Donald Trump elected president of the United States. And all of this that's going on is just an orchestrated effort to try to keep Hillary from getting in the White House. What do you think about that, Gary? That is a stretch, to say the least.
Well, you know, Donald Trump, it's interesting to note, said, I think it was yesterday, I love WikiLeaks. and you know, I don't think he was saying that necessarily from a national security perspective, but I think he was saying it simply because of the information that WikiLeaks right now is revealing concerning Hillary and, you know, the Obama administration, the corruption that really is in this current administration. And, you know, the question is, was Russia involved with those leaks, with that hacking? Well, I don't know. They could be. It is a good possibility. I do not know if they are or if they are not. It very, very well could be. But we do know we do know, as the result of these emails that were leaked, that Hillary herself has a pretty good relationship with Vladimir Putin. And, you know, she's going along and saying, hey, look, you know, if Trump gets in, that he and Putin are going to be bosom buddies. But it appears that even Hillary and Putin themselves have had a fairly decent relationship and maybe have been planning some things. So, you know, where we are, David, is in the midst of a culture of corruption. And this should greatly concern every citizen of the United States of America, but also every born-again believer. You know, as we've emphasized so many times on this program, the truth has fallen in the street. We are living in a day when there is no absolute truth. And we need to pray for truth in government to prevail, because if it does not prevail, then once again, our nation is going to be going down the tube very, very quickly.
Sam, you texted something during the break, and I want to read that because I think it's an excellent statement. You said, this is an election about the choice of ideologies and worldview. An approach to governance is at stake here. A view of the role of government, and then you got real specific, it's going to be totalitarianism versus self-governance. Now, Sam, I want to ask you this question. Should not what we're watching go on in Washington, D.C., with all of this apparent collusion, even today, Donna Brazile is in the news because in one of the debates, it appears that maybe, I think it was the CNN debate, that some of the questions that were going to be asked were actually filtered to Hillary Clinton ahead of time. And so with all of this that's going on, does this not, Sam, present a clear picture of what's going on in Washington, D.C. at all levels of government? And it underscores, at least to me it does, the very reason Trump is where he is. He is such an appealing candidate because people are sick and tired of being sick and tired of the corruption.
Dave, you are correct. What people understand and all of these things that we're finding by the revelations of the WikiLeaks things, by the discussions that we've had on the investigation into Hillary and the emails, and by all of their defiance of cooperating with Congress, all of these things that we've been talking about, these all describe an approach to governance. And what they describe is a system given to bribery and corruption. This is a system where law, right and wrong, constraint, which comes along with duty and responsibility, and law, the Constitution, under which every person down there has taken an oath to support and defend, what we are witnessing is a throwing off of that restraint, a making up of their own rules as they go, applying the laws to some people only, which is not justice, but injustice. That's what people are sensing and seeing. The left, the Clinton-Cain campaign, their group in the Obama administration, has made it clear everything that they're doing is that they are above the law. They don't want to be constrained by the law. What is that? That's totalitarian rule. That is, we don't want the Constitution. Ultimately, it says we don't want God, and we don't want God's moral law, and we don't want the Constitution that really is based on biblical principles. That's why, Dave, this is, in fact, a worldview, the role of government, the people, self-government, versus the elite, the establishment, the globalists, the Islamists that are working together. Today, I've never really in my life felt that the what's at stake here and the ideologies that are present before us, I've never known them to be so clear. And I think what we have walking out before us right now is a clarification, a further focusing and saying, yes, it is globalism, the establishment. It is a totalitarian rule versus the Constitution, the rule of law, and what we have there. Dave, I have never seen it perhaps so clear as what we're seeing.
Dave, let me just jump right in here with a question, if I may, and I'm going to ask it to Sam. Sam, you know, this worldview that we're talking about, that's anti-God and anti-nomian and so forth, is not new. It's been around for generations. Why is it coming out so clearly today?
Gary, I think it's a good question. I think it's coming up because now we have a culture, we have a generation of people who have been put into office without the people, the citizens, actually qualifying them sufficiently as to where they stand on these issues of law and justice and the role of government. We've elected people because they smile nice or they have a lot of money, and now we're finding out what that has produced. Gary, it's just the chickens are now coming home to roost, and this election, I think, is that time.
Well, gentlemen, great question, a great discussion. Friends, a lot more we could talk about. We will be talking about these things in the days ahead, but when we come back from the break, we're going to share with you some things that are going on across the nation that I believe are going to be a great encouragement to you. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, the ones called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way," then God makes this amazing promise: "I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land." We're going to be talking about what God is up to across the nation as we approach the big break.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
This is your host, Sam Rohr. When it comes to financial stewardship, wills, and tax estate planning, you can trust the Life Financial Group, one of our Stand in the Gap Today radio sponsors. The Life Financial Group has worked alongside believers across America for nearly 40 years, providing counsel and biblical direction to Christians so they can provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Call the Life Financial Group today at 800-688-5800 for a free copy of Protecting Yourself from Fraud. That's 800-688-5800.
The preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the Republican model of government are justly considered, perhaps as deeply as finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. A quote from George Washington.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
I'm Jan Mark Hill, helping you understand the times.
But realistically, you want to read the people. You're going to learn a whole lot more if you understand where that individual comes from, what they've done, and perhaps most importantly, what they want to do.
People continually ask, who is the right candidate? And I say both candidates are flawed people. However, we need to choose one, so how do we make that choice? My advice is simple, since it seems that neither candidate is a stellar choice. I would vote for the party whose platform seems to be the most moral in principle. I would also vote for the party that supports legislation that is in keeping with our Constitution and will support the rights rights of religious freedom. Don't let the candidates keep you from voting. There is more at stake than just a couple of flawed candidates. Make sure you vote. For more information, listen to our weekend program on this station or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. And I want to echo what we have said several times over the course of the program today, and that is this. Please procure the platforms of both Republican Party and Democratic Party. It's very easy to locate them online. In fact, yesterday I sent out to my email list, which is a very extensive list, I sent out again basically the two-party platforms on all of these issues that we who are Bible-believing Christians are most concerned about. I'm talking about the issue of life, marriage, support for Israel, sanctity of life, First Amendment religious liberty, which is a major, major thing that's at stake in this election. All of those things, you can read what the party platforms believe about them, what they're going to try to implement with respect to all of those. And so, friends, it's vitally important you take the time to read them and then vote accordingly and vote as biblically as you possibly can. And friends, I'll be candid with you. This time it should be relatively easy. When you read the platforms, it is crystal clear. Now, having said those things, we want to shift gears here for just a little bit, gentlemen. Sam, you are, Gary, you are, I am. We are all older gentlemen. And I will say this, the generation that's following us and the generations that follow the generation that's following us are the ones that are so critical for the future of the United States of America. We hear a lot of talk about the millennial generation and, you know, millennials maybe are not as aware of certain things. They're not paying attention. What I'm beginning to see is this. I'm beginning to see the younger generation, the millennials, beginning to pay a lot of attention. And so we have on the line with us today a millennial. And I know this millennial very, very well because he is my son, Nathan. He is the director of our Hope to the Hill ministry. We labor together in Washington, D.C. And friends, starting on October 7, our ministry began something that is literally mushrooming across the United States of America. We are calling it 30 Days of Prayer. And from October 7 all the way up until Election Day, November 8, we are encouraging people to pray for three things. Number one, pray for our nation, its current leaders, and its future leaders, those that will be elected on November 8. We're encouraging people to pray for the elections themselves, that fraud will not be an issue, but that they'll be able to play out as our founders intended. And then most importantly, we're encouraging people to pray for revival in America, because friends, that is the answer. Obviously, we need to be involved in the process politically. It's our constitutional, yea, our biblical duty. But we also understand clearly here at the American Pastors Network that the answer to America's problems comes directly from the throne room of God. If God's people will repent, humble themselves, and begin to pray. Nathan, it is great to have you aboard. I note for the last 6 days, we have been posting prayers by national leaders. Share a little bit about what's been going on, some of the leaders that are participants, and then talk a little bit, Nathan, if you would, about what's taking place today, because our prayer leader today has really sparked interest all over social media. Talk about it, if you would.
Well, it's good to be with you all today. I hope you can hear me.
We can hear you well, buddy. Go ahead.
Fantastic. Well, good. Well, we started on October 7th, and we've had some wonderful leaders. Actually, Dad, you started the first day off, and we've had Dr. Mark Harris, who is the pastor of First Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he was just a few days ago, as well as former Representative Paul Brown from the state of Georgia. And then we had a young evangelist, national evangelist named John Layton, and as well as some other folks. And today, we had Pastor Greg Locke. A lot of you who keep up on social media would know who Pastor Locke is. He has almost a million followers on online and has been such a wonderful, wonderful, taken a wonderful stand for what is right. And Greg is an old friend of ours, Dad. And so he agreed to do a prayer, and we shared it early this morning. Greg shared it about 10 a.m., and since Greg shared it today. We've had over almost 40,000 views on that video just in the past 2.5 hours. It's been shared 1,700 times on Facebook, which has really been a blessing, and it's great. We're encouraging folks to pray for our nation, especially the younger generation. The idea originally was to try to encourage people to pray for 30 days. You know, people take the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, and they've taken the 22 for 22 challenge, but we have encouraged folks to take the 30 days of prayer challenge to pray for our nation in the upcoming election for 30 days. And a lot of folks have done that, especially today, have started that. So it's really been a blessing. And we have folks like Pastor Robert Jeffress from First Baptist Dallas, Congressman Robert Adderholt from the state of Alabama, and many, many more who have agreed to join us. And this is not about one particular organization or person. We really wanted something that people could be a part of that was free and that they could all join in together and work together. I think that's really something we've really pushed this year in Washington, D.C., is for folks to, and we have a lot of Christian organizations on Capitol Hill, but encourage them to work together. So many folks have different weaknesses and strengths that others don't, and we want to work together as the body of Christ for the common goal of sharing the gospel and revival in this great country we live in.
Nathan, let me ask you this. Tell our listening audience how they can go to view these videos. They can view the ones that have already been posted online. And again, they are prayer videos posted by Pastor Greg Locke today. Pastor Robert Jeffress is upcoming. Senate Chaplain Barry Black is upcoming. Pastor David Jeremiah from California is upcoming, and a host of others. But Nathan, tell how people can go back and view the videos from the past and how they can tune in each day to view the video and then use it as a model for their own prayers that day.
Correct. Correct. Well, two things, really. One is, you know, I know a lot of more mature folks, as I like to call them, are starting to use social media, and that's fantastic. And so we have, you can go to the Hope to the Hill page. If you go on Facebook, type in Hope to the Hill, you can find the page there, and you can watch today's video and the last five before that. But if you don't have social media, we've encouraged folks, we set it up to where you can go to our website, which is www.hopetothehill.com, and you can go to the Hope of the Hill tab, and it'll drop down, and you can go back through today's and the last 5 days on there as well. We wanted everybody to be able to take part in this, whether they use social media or not, and so we've created a way for them to do that. So I hope that they will definitely take advantage of that today.
Sam, Gary, let me ask you guys something. You guys are both in the ministry, and I know you have children that are involved in ministry as well. But this younger generation, the millennial generation of which Nathan is a part, is obviously, guys, the key to the future of this country. And I know Nathan, and I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but I know Nathan has a burden, an intense burden for those up on Capitol Hill that are the staffers, the ones that are in their 20s. And that is really a group that Nathan is going after through our Hope to the Hill ministry. Gary, let me go to you. How important is it, because I believe it's vitally important, but to you as a pastor, how important is it that this younger generation grasp the truth, not only of God's word, but the truth of the founding of this country, how we were established, and if our nation is going to survive, this younger generation has to be able to capture and understand that and then lead.
Well, it's absolutely significant, very important, because a lot of the younger generation do not get the truth taught to them in the secular educational system. And so it's important that those of us who are parents do teach the younger generation truth. And when the younger generation, the millennials in this case, stand for truth, that is going to be the only thing, Dave, that is going to guarantee the strength of the United States of America in the future as it has been in the past. We need that. That's very significant. And praise God for the Nathans and others who are doing that very thing today.
And friends, you need to be encouraged. We know a lot of millennials that are standing for righteousness and doing so in an aggressive and courageous way. And so look up and keep your head high. God is doing some great things in this country. 23-hour break. We'll be back tomorrow for more Stand in the Gap Today. Join us at that time.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL. King of